give us this day is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson appointed for the morning office from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These devotionals are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Tyler, Texas. Father Charles' devotionals can be found both in print and online.
Today is Tuesday of the 15th Sunday after Trinity. The lesson is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 15.
Would to God that ye would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. But when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore? Because I love you not? God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that therein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
In the past 10 chapters, we have heard and seen in action the extraordinary lengths St. Paul goes to minister to the Corinthian church in love. What is St. Paul's secret to being so faithful and so dedicated, in spite of incredible difficulties and suffering? It is this, that he sees the Corinthian church as the very bride of Jesus Christ. This requires the exercise of the religious imagination, which is so closely related to faith. In our lives, we usually use our imaginations to see things that don't really exist. In the spiritual life, however, we are required to use our imaginations to see things that, while they are not physically visible, are the most real things of all. This religious imagination is so important that without it, no one will ever see Jesus Christ. I personally, no matter how much I desire it, have never seen Jesus Christ in bodily 6-foot form, and I'll bet you haven't either. And yet we routinely say and believe that we see Jesus, don't we? How can this be? It's because we see with the eyes of faith. As St. Paul has shown us over and over again, we are the presence of Jesus Christ on the earth. This means, again, that people see Jesus through us, or alternatively, they don't see him if we don't act faithfully as his body. In Flannery O'Connor's amazing story, Parker's wife, who thinks she believes deeply in God, can never actually see him. When Parker gets a tattoo on his back, because he thinks she'll like a religious tattoo, it is of Jesus Christ. When Parker shows her Jesus on his back, she asks who it is and says, "It ain't anybody I know." Instead of finally being pleased with Parker, she tells Parker, "God don't look like that." She continues by saying, "He don't look. He's a spirit. No man shall see his face." Parker's wife had the ultimate in lack of religious imagination and faith. But we are not exempt from being unable to see Jesus. We may not recognize that it's no mere offhand comment or nice metaphor that Paul is employing when he says that his desire is to betroth the Corinthian church as a chaste virgin to Christ. This is the literal truth, only we usually fail to have the imagination and faith to see it. The church, the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, and each local church, is betrothed or engaged to Jesus Christ. In heaven, that marriage will be finally and fully consummated. And in this life, we are to live as a chaste virgin who is to be the bride of Christ. It is because we are to be the bride of Christ, that is, one flesh with him and united with him, that the church must be a chaste virgin. The Church of Corinth and the Good Shepherd Church in Tyler, Texas, are the bride of Jesus Christ, and therefore also the body of Jesus Christ, since we are now one flesh with him. And therefore, we must come before him as a chaste virgin. We must allow no impure or unholy thoughts, words, or actions to defile her. Paul writes as if there is a real possibility that the Church at Corinth may not continue to act as if it is truly betrothed to Christ. One of the causes of this peril is that they too were in danger of not recognizing who they were, the bride and body of Christ. Whenever we get into the kinds of problems the Church at Corinth had, more visible in 1 Corinthians, it is a failure to remember who they are. The disunity in factions, accompanied by grumbling against church leaders, pride, sexual immorality, divorce, lawsuits, and abuse of God's gifts, it sounds just like the church today, doesn't it? That the Corinthian church experienced were all due to a failure to recognize that they were the bride of Christ and were therefore to be holy. If you can ever remember a person in your life that you were eager to please, then you know what is required of Christ's betrothed virgin. You may remember a parent, grandparent, teacher, coach, boyfriend or girlfriend, or spouse that you were dedicated to serving and pleasing. Under the spell of such love, it was more difficult for you to live in an impure or selfish way, even when things got difficult and you often didn't feel loving. This is to be much more so for the betrothed virgin of Jesus Christ. Our eschatological identity is to be forever the bride of Christ, who is ravaged by his love and becomes completely one body with him. We'd better get used to the idea now and live with faith and imagination before our holy God and bridegroom, and we better do it with all the dedication and zeal of St. Paul.
This has been a presentation of Always with Christ Radio, Radio in the Anglican Way.